We own this country. We own it. And it's not you owning it and not politicians owning it. Politicians are employees of ours. And they're just going to come around and beg for votes every few years, and it's the same old deal. But I just think that it's important that you realize that whether you're Democrat or whether you're a Republican or whether you're Libertarian or whatever, when somebody does not do the job, we've got to let them go.
When your entire culture is under attack, you need the country's number one voice in defense of our American way of life. You need an ally in the fight against tyranny and corruption. You need your weekly dose of Lisa Payne Nager. Missouri Grassroots Radio Network proudly adds our own beauty to America the Beautiful, your own culture vigilante, Ms. Lisa Payne Nager.
I am sick and tired of being lied to and manipulated. I'm done with all of the false aggrandizement and the just out and out lies. And you know, I can take being lied to by the left, by the communists, by the fascists, by the socialists, because I know where they're coming from. They're, you know, but I cannot abide by being lied to by people who are supposed to be on our side. That includes politicians. That includes mostly what I'm really angry about this week. It includes people that are trying to drive a message that is not the truth. My cohort in crime, Cindy McGee and I, my co-anchor tonight and my sidekick on Culture Vigilante, and I have been hashing this out all week. We have been listening to the absolute evisceration of the Bundys by so-called conservative media since Cliven Bundy made statements, altered statements, misrepresented statements, statements taken out of context about race last week. And it has been the hottest news story until yesterday, when another statement about race became the front page headlines. And that is all anybody in the media is talking about. And we have got so many serious, important news stories going on. And the only thing that's making it to the headlines are these issues about race. Today, there was breaking news about about the smoking gun criteria that has come to light through the hard work of Judicial Watch for Benghazi. I mean, they've got them dead to rights. They should be stringing people up and driving them to jail right now. And all we're talking about is race. Absolutely, absolutely amazing. And the biggest issue here with that is this is being driven by the right. This is being driven by conservative media. Glenn Beck, some of my local media here, Fox News. We've got stories for you here tonight, folks, that are just going to curl your toes. If you don't walk away wondering, why in the heck is this going on? Why is this being driven by the right when we have so many important issues? Why is the right derailing the message? Why is the right derailing the focus? They are behind it, folks, and you've heard me talk about it a million times on this show. You've got to stop idolizing folks in the media. You've got to stop idolizing folks in your legislatures and in your government. And you've got to start taking responsibility for the information you take in and question the motivations of people, even people that are supposedly on your side. You've got to start doing your own research and your own investigation into issues, because I'm telling you, everybody's got an agenda, folks. This is Lisa Payne Nager. You're listening to Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. I am here with Cindy McGee, also steaming hot mad over this issue. Thanks for being with me tonight, Cindy.
You're welcome. I'm glad to be here. Yeah, I am steaming mad too. I'm fed up. And, you know, I just want to add real quick to what you said about the legislators and not idolizing them and worshiping at their feet, and people do it without even realizing they're doing it. Let me tell you, folks, your role as a citizen in connection with your legislator is simply this. Your legislator does the right thing. You get behind them. You support the effort. You do what you can to help get the word out. You get friends and neighbors and family involved to support that legislation or whatever it is that legislator is doing that is the right thing to do to uphold the Constitution, the principles of liberty, and to execute their office as prescribed by law in your state. You get behind them. You get behind them on the federal level. Same thing. If they're doing the right thing to uphold the constitutional liberty, whatever. You get behind them in that you get the word out, you get people engaged to get involved, to garner support. If it's something that legislator is having a hard time or several legislators are having a hard time passing, you do what you can to influence to get it done. If they do the wrong thing, you call them out.
You don't reelect them.
What they're doing, and you do it unapologetically. You don't owe them a blasted thing. You don't owe them anything ever at any time. If they're doing the right thing, they did their job. If they're doing the wrong thing, they're sidestepping their job, and they're up to something that they shouldn't be up to, or they're misguided or misinformed. Whatever the case may be, it's your job to rein them back in and set them straight. And you don't owe them anything. You don't owe them anything for listening to you. You don't owe them anything for doing the right thing.
And they're not entitled to hold that seat.
Nope.
They're not entitled. Somebody will come up and take that place. Somebody, you know, if you don't ever offer them the possibility, you know, people won't come forward. But I'm telling you, if you had more of a turnover in your legislatures, both on the federal level and the state level, there'd be a lot more people involved and engaged in government.
Right.
You know,
and the worst thing you can do is put. Yeah, absolutely.
These people absolutely think that they're entitled to these seats, and they're entitled to their career that they make out of this political life. You know, nobody should be making a career out of it. And I'm telling you, there's people making careers out of government. There's people making careers out of right-wing media, left-wing media as well, too. And none of this should be to the extent where we follow any of these folks blindly. None of these people have a lock on what we think and how we feel about what's going on in our government. And what I have seen in the last week has been absolutely shameful coming from, I mean, I'm just done with Glenn Beck. I had a lot of respect for the kind of information. He's responsible for putting out some great information. He's exposed the Common Core issues. He's exposed the Justina issues. He's done a lot of exposés on, you know, the Benghazi issues and the energy issues. And, I mean, he's done a really great job. You know, Glenn Beck's not – his organization, they are not investigative reporters. This is something you and I both know personally, Cindy. But what they do is they troll the Internet for information and present it out there, which is fabulous. Sharing that information is great, but they take credit for it. You know, they're not the investigative journalists that find this information. They're very good at sharing what they find on the Internet. If they can find it, however, so can you.
Right.
With some of the things that I've been seeing come out of Glenn Beck's camp over the last couple of weeks, I'm telling you folks, I'm just done with Glenn Beck. I can find that information elsewhere. I'm just absolutely finished with what I've seen. The evisceration of the Bundys over the last week and the message that he has tried to drive, the totally false image that he has tried to present of the Bundys over the last week has just absolutely set me on fire.
Mm-hmm.
Just absolutely insane, and I think that he's paying the price for it, because I think in the last couple of days I've seen him do a little backpedaling. Cindy, you and I talked about this a little earlier today and a little bit yesterday. Some of the things coming out of his broadcasts. I think was it yesterday, Cindy, or it was must have been yesterday, day before yesterday maybe. A video that he put out about his explanation of the Bundys and how he's for peace and how he maybe you can explain a little bit better. He put the Bundys on the same level as Malcolm X, and mm-hmm. you know, he's trying to rise himself to a level of Gandhi here.
In the video, when he was talking about it and trying to justify his position on the Bundys and how things have gone down out there, he's ignoring, first of all, he's ignoring the truth. nobody that supported the Bundys took a first shot, did anything of that kind. They showed up to support the Bundys. They did show up armed to protect themselves because we had armed paramilitary government agencies that shouldn't even exist. It is so unconstitutional. It's not even hardly worth discussing, but it's happened, so it has to be discussed. I mean, it's mind-boggling. Those people have done nothing wrong. They have not called for violence. They have not called for a violent resolution to what is happening to the Bundys. They want a peaceful resolution. They want the BLM to stand down and stop doing what they're doing and taking people's land away unconstitutionally. They want the federal government to back off and get back inside its chains, the Constitution put around it, that nobody in Congress or the judiciary is willing to do to put a stop to it. And, you know, so that's all they've asked for, Lisa. They've done nothing wrong. And yet Glenn Beck is all up in arms, and he is in this clip from his show the other day, I think it was Monday, when he said all this stuff on his show. He compared, or it might have been early yesterday, it might have been yesterday morning, but either way, he compared the Patriots at Bundy's Ranch to Malcolm X, bottom line.
Blew me away. Mm. Yep.
Used some of the same tactics, et cetera. He did.
Oh, without question, and falsely presenting the Bundy side of the issue. The Bundys have never called for violence. The Bundys have never, you know, when Beck first aired the clip of Clive and Bundy speaking on the race issue, they aired the edited version, and totally eviscerated him over that issue. Absolute, total, intentional misinterpretation of facts. You know, and I cannot understand why someone, you know, who's trying to build a news organization would intentionally misinterpret the facts. You know, I mean, you can still not like what Clive and Bundy said, and you can still get that point across very well without misinterpreting, you know, and misrepresenting the facts. I mean, just absolutely just made me crazy, furious.
If he wants to disagree with the tactics of Patriots showing up to support someone like Clive and Bundy, fine. Just say it straight out. Be honest. Don't try to hide behind some Gandhi-ish self-portrayal of yourself or whatever. Don't try to put that on other people who do not feel led. That is what needs to be done. We need to find ways to agree to disagree, sometimes on tactics, I am sure, going down the road. But to do what he's done, to eviscerate the Patriots and the Bundys all as this has progressed, is just, it's mind-boggling, it's inexcusable, it's been extremely divisive. Glenn Beck has done more to cause division within the Patriot
movement, and that's the thing.
In the last
yeah.
several weeks than anybody I've seen for a long time.
And that's what it all boils down to. I mean, you can disagree. Patriots disagree on issues every single day. Here, my friends here at MGC and I disagree on many issues every single day. But the debate is always open and honest, and you agree to disagree, and you work together when you can, and you move on. Nobody is intentionally trying to create conflict. And what I'm seeing here is intentional conflict trying to be created, you know, because we're not following things the way somebody feels like we need to follow them. And you can't tell me that you spend 5+ years telling folks they need to get active and engaged and do something about their government. And when people stand up and make a stand and their voices are being heard, nonviolently, by the way, absolutely nonviolently, it's all of a sudden not the way it should happen because it doesn't come from the directive of the person that wants to be in charge of the show.
Right.
I mean, that's what it boils down to.
I will say this, too. I am sure we all saw video of some people there that were filmed, showed up on the Internet, because they will. And trust me, folks, you do the wrong thing out there, When you're taking a stand, you will show up on the internet. You're going to be everywhere because you're just adding fodder to the enemy's cannon. But you know, there were people that were acting inappropriately that showed up at the Bundy's Ranch. But that was not the majority of the people who were there. Those were, I believe, isolated cases. The majority of the people there, from everything I've been able to find out, they weren't there for violence. They weren't there to incite violence. They weren't there seeking a violent end to this. They were simply there saying, enough is enough. We're not going to take it anymore. The BLM needs to stand down. They need to stop harassing the Bundys. This is about states' rights and individual liberty. And that's what this fight is about. It's not even about the Bundys. It's about the Bundys are just a family that finally said they had had enough and they weren't going to take it anymore, whereas so many other families have been pushed out by these types of actions from the government. Well,
you know, I think what the situation is here is there's a rivalry going on between what's considered the social media kings of the right, between maybe Alex Jones and Beck and, you know, all of these entities that are trying to be rising stars in the social media aspect in the Patriot movement. And Alex Jones absolutely out there trying to stir the pot. No question. But I'm telling you, Alex Jones gave better coverage of the Bundy incident than anybody I saw. I mean, they were out there. There was more coverage from that media outlet on the whole Bundy thing, especially that weekend that everything was going down. You know, where was Beck and his crowd? He didn't send a crowd out there. He's got folks he could have sent. Didn't send anybody. You know, except he did make a very big issue out of the fact that he was at a speaking engagement that weekend, and he personally couldn't get out there to the Beck's ranch, or to the Bundy's ranch. You know, my first question is, why would he want to? You know, why does he think that he needs to be the first person out there at the Bundy ranch counseling Bundy? When did that become his job? You know, total egos involved here at this situation. Absolutely. Out of control.
And something else that simply amazed me too was, it would seem that the White House talking points, Beck's talking points, and the talking points as the conservatives fell off like flies right in line with Beck, it would seem to me that they were all speaking the same speak. That's concerning, too. They were using the same talking points.
Yeah, absolutely.
About what was happening with Bundy and the race charges. That goes to what happened when Bundy was accused of being a racist last week. And it really gives you pause for thought when you see that happening, and when you see Bundy taken so far out of context and maligned the way he was being maligned for saying
what
he said.
That's an excellent point. We have a so-called local conservative radio station here in St. Louis area, and it's about the only one that we have out here, and I called in to an afternoon talk show that was discussing this issue, and it was clear that they were trying to drive the message about the Bundy issue, and they were following the same footsteps and using the same talking points as Glenn Beck, and they had people call in. So I called in, and I tried to make my points, and I was not allowed to. My mic was cut off when I tried to speak. And I was cut off at the end when I tried to give rebuttals, and they just absolutely would not allow me to make my points. They didn't want me to make my points. It was clear that anybody who had any justification for what was going on or tried to explain or their point of view, they didn't want to hear it. They were just absolutely slicing people up, calling in, who did not agree with their point of view. It was ridiculous. You see this going on. You know, Hannity did the same thing. People could not step away from the Bundys fast enough after the statements were made and after the statements hit the air. But I will tell you, if you go to the Glenn Beck Facebook page, there is almost no support for what Glenn Beck did to the Bundys over the last week. I think he's absolutely feeling the pain. I think people have begun to see him in a new light and, do not have the same respect for that so-called news organization that they had prior to all of this. And I'm hoping that this will open people's eyes and get us back to the point where we do not take anything for granted, where we question everything, we do not follow blindly these people that are so-called leaders in their area. You know, you've got to go get your media facts from several different sources, and I think that it's going to absolutely catapult alternative media into the spotlight. People are no longer going to blindly be following Glenn Beck, Fox News, Alex Jones. They're going to go to different sources and get their information from different places, because you cannot trust people and from what their agendas are. Everybody's got an agenda, and especially if they're making money from it.
And, you know, isn't it funny, Lisa, we, all of us, including Beck, if you listen to the entire Bundy, the remarks that he made a week ago Sunday, that led to him, this whole brouhaha over him being a racist and a terrible person, if you listen to his remarks, all of them, which I did do, I understood exactly what he was saying. It was anything but racist. Would I have said it differently? Probably, but it doesn't make Bundy wrong.
Nope.
And the thing about it is that, you know, I drew my own conclusions from listening to him. I understood what he was saying because it was pretty plain. Now, if someone else wanted to draw some other conclusions because of certain words he chose to use, I would argue because of his age and the time in which he grew up and his life experiences, and remembering, too, that he's a rancher, not an orator, you know, and I think that he said what a lot of us have felt, that our government has taken welfare and turned it into plantations that, unfortunately, too many, blacks, whites, Hispanics, you name it, but they've become slaves to a welfare system. And their conditions are terrible, and their lives are virtually have become worthless. They contribute nothing to their families, nothing to their communities. They really don't. That's true of everyone on welfare either. Mm-hmm. It's not. I don't want that to be a blanket statement that if you're on welfare, you know, that you're. But too many have become absolutely useless. They are nothing but leeches on society. And our government has created that system. It birthed it. It is fostering it.
Oh,
and
for sure.
It is doing its best to put more and more people on it.
Well, you know, and even if Cindy, even if the Bundys, you know, if Cliven Bundy is not articulate in his delivery of his message, you know, I mean, he stumbles around a little bit. The mass understanding of what he was trying to say and what you just explained was out there, and the people understood because they have common sense, and they will not be manipulated into a message that was trying to be driven by this so-called right-wing media that is trying to corral the Patriot movement. Most of the people were And most of the people on the radio show that I called into in St. Louis on Friday, people on Glenn Beck's page, people that I've heard subsequently across the internet and on other media outlets, do not believe, and black conservative leaders and black conservative bloggers and black conservative media people did not have a problem with Bundy for the most part. There were a few, but for the most part, they get it. You know, they see what's going on in front of them.
The premise of what he was trying to say.
Yeah, and we're not falling for that manipulation that was trying to be had across the media. They were absolutely not getting it. So, okay, we're supposed to have Ryan Bundy on with us tonight. I think I'm going to need to call the ranch and wrestle him up here. Let's take a quick break. And when we come back from the break, Cindy, you can, if we're not queued up with Ryan Bundy right away, maybe you can give us, there have been some interesting developments in the Justina Pelletier case. We can talk about that a little bit. Later on in the show, we are going to have, speaking of interesting developments, you know, in the judicial system, we've been screaming impeachment, impeachment, impeachment. The Oklahoma State Legislature, Mike Christian, a Republican from Oklahoma, has filed articles of impeachment for about half of the Supreme Court in Oklahoma over some ridiculous rulings that their Supreme Court made over an execution situation in Oklahoma. He's going to be on with us a little bit later to talk about that. And Mark Messer from St. Charles County, we have an issue here. You know, it's important, folks. You got to have a sheriff because your government's run amok. You got to have somebody standing between you and your government, looking out for your best interests. St. Charles County's had a problem with our sheriff situation. We just lost our sheriff in the last election. They're trying to get that back. So we'll have Mark Messer on talking about that. We'll take a quick break, and we'll be right back.
It really is time for the people of America to take up pitchforks.
No matter what time of year it is, it's never too early to start preparing for the holidays. And here at Missouri Grassroots Coalition, we're thinking of Christmas now. Why? Because we've set an ambitious goal for ourselves to raise $2,000. That's right, we want to raise $2,000 in 2013 to help some Missouri families who may be struggling in this Obama economy to provide a magical Christmas morning for their children. Last year, in 2012, Missouri Grassroots Coalition touched the lives of 15 families because of the generosity of conservatives across the state who provided us with the means to pay off their layaway accounts on Christmas Eve. This year, we'd like to be able to help twice that number of families, and we're asking you to help us with that goal. Please go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org and click on the Secret Santa tab. All the details are there for you to send us what you can by PayPal, check, or money order. We want to thank all who contributed last year for their generosity and hope that you will all help us continue to prove that charitable giving works best in a constitutional republic.
So dear, for peace so sweet as to be purchased at the price of chains and slavery. Forbid it, Almighty God. I know not what course others may take, but as for me, give me liberty or give me death.
Okay, folks, we're back on Culture Vigilante, Lisa Payne Negra's show. I'm Cindy McGee. I'm sitting in as co-host tonight. And I wanted to cover real quick. Lisa has had to step away from the microphone, and I want to talk to you real quick about some developments in the Justina Pelletier case, which, as you know, we've been covering rather extensively over the past month or two. It's been ongoing for so long, it seems like forever, and we've talked about it, and this girl is still not home with her family where she belongs, but there have been some interesting and very significant developments. This week it came out that a Boston psychiatric nurse who had care responsibilities for Justina Pelletier filed a mandated report complaint against Boston Children's Hospital alleging unlawful imprisonment of a Connecticut teen in custody by state authorities for 14 months. This is very significant and very helpful that a nurse who has actually helped care for her at Boston Children's Hospital is now speaking up and defending Justina Pelletier, and I think that I was very excited to see this. I've been waiting for someone at that hospital who has seen what's going on to finally put their big boy pants on and do what needed to be done and to call out this hospital and some of the employees there and the Boston DCS, Division of Child Services, for what they've done to this family and to this girl. And in a letter, she wrote this letter on January 8th, and she said, "I have been engaged with Linda Liu and Jennifer Pelletier, the parents and eldest sister of Justina Pelletier, to facilitate Justina's discharge from Bader 5 inpatient psychiatric unit of Boston Children's Hospital, where she has been unjustly and illegally imprisoned for the past 9 months. Prior to Justina's admission to Bader 5, she had spent 2 months as a ward of the state after clinicians, in a rush to judgment, determined medical child neglect against Justina's parents, Linda and Lou Pelletier," she wrote. When Suffolk County Juvenile Court Justice Honorable Joseph F. Johnston ruled on February 15, 2013 in favor of BCH Clinicians and granted DCF temporary custody of the minor child, she said Justina's life was derailed. The pronouncement that shattered Justina's life was rendered by a total stranger who sentenced her to undergoing the stress of radical changes in her basic medical care before being moved to a more secure area of BCH where contact with her family would be more severely limited and more strictly monitored. Higgins, who has over 20 years' experience in child psychology, reported that every facet of Justina's life that held meaning for her was removed and replaced with a state devoid of compassion and conscience. I read
amazing.
This, and yeah.
That
and
should,
it made
that
me,
should do, yeah, that should turn some
yeah,
eyes.
It made me sick to my stomach. Lisa,
yeah,
it
well,
was
where
like,
was she a year ago?
Well, that's true. That is true, and thank God she's standing up now and telling it the way it is. You know, too often, folks, we're intimidated by our employers, by our legislators,
right.
by the powers that be in our government, and instead of standing up and doing what we need to do and saying what's right and taking the risk that we might go down for it, we let it continue. So in that regard, we're all to blame for what's happening
yeah.
in our country. The things like Justina, the things that have happened to Justina Pelletier, we're at fault because we don't stand up when we should stand up. And, you know, I look at the Bundys. They late, dollar short in terms of all the ranchers that have gone down before them, but at least somebody's finally standing up.
Absolutely.
And I think that's a good thing.
Okay, we're calling in to Clive and Bundy right now, or to Ryan Bundy.
And so we have to be diligent and do our due diligence to speak out whether we see an injustice like this nurse did on the job. And thank God she's speaking out and trying to do the right thing for this child. So kudos to her.
Absolutely. We'll be following that story as it develops. It's good news. You know, it's kind of a day late, but I'm hoping that because of what she's done, things will turn around for that family. That's just tragic. We do have Ryan Bundy on the line with us. Mr. Bundy, thank you for joining us. I know that you were out on the range somewhere working hard. We're sorry that we're taking you away from your duties, but we appreciate the opportunity to touch base with you and get kind of an update on what's been going on the ranch.
All right. Well, I'm glad to be here.
Okay, couple things. So, you know, at the top of the show, Cindy and I had a long rant. You gave us a fabulous accounting last week of the fine points that are not being reported in the media about why this is unconstitutional, what's happening to you and all of the other ranchers in Nevada, why this is unconstitutional. Fabulous civics lesson. I'm not hearing any of that in the media. I saw an interview with your dad a couple of days ago by CNN, being grilled by the CNN reporter at that time. They just don't seem to get it. They really don't seem to get it. And there are always interpretations of the law and the Constitution, but they really don't seem to get it that the issue of sovereign states, and they were really driving it home.
Yeah, I'm familiar with that, you know, and that's just kind of a liberal agenda, and, you know, that kind of shows the liberal leanings of the mainstream media. They don't want to hear the truth. They don't want the truth because it messes up their program, I guess. I understand that the media is owned by, you know, persons who have a liberal agenda, and so that's what they want to report in the slide that they want to give the news, so... The problem is they're, instead of being a news agency that's interested in reporting the news, they want to twist the story to mean what they want it to mean. And that's what
right.
we see going on. That's why you're not hearing the full story, because they don't want the full story told. We've dealt with this before in the past. I mean, we're in the national and world media's eye right now, but we've been there before, not nearly as much as we are now. But we dealt with this once before. I learned that they can take an item of truth and flip it completely upside down. And I'll give you an example. We were with a reporter from USA Today, and this was probably 10 years ago or so, maybe even longer. We spent the entire day with this gal, and she continually asked us to, if we could see, you know, she could see our weapons. You know, she wanted to turn us into a bunch of vigilantes. And
your weapons?
You know, yeah, she kept asking if we can, if she can see our weapons. She asked us a dozen times throughout the day.
Well, don't
finally,
you don't, isn't it typical for ranchers to have weapons? I mean, you guys are out in Nevada. There are mountain lions and wolves and things you have to deal with every day, right?
But you know, that's not what she was interested in. She was interested in trying to make us look like, you know, like we were, anyway, like we were going to do something crazy with a bunch of weapons. Well, finally, one of the men that was with us says, okay, I'll show you my weapon. And he pulls out a copy of the Constitution. He goes, this is my weapon, okay? You know, this is how I battle what, you know, what we're having to fight. Well, of course, when she did her reporting, she didn't say what his weapon was. She just said that he showed me his weapon. And,
really?
Of course, what does everybody think? Everybody thinks that, you know, he's got some, you know, big guns he's toting around type of deal, or stashed away or something. You know, so they just put a little spin on it to change the meaning of the message. And anyway, we're seeing that constantly now, actually, again. So,
well,
we expect
now that you mention it, yeah, we've a big discussion that we've had here. You know, we've kind of just been incensed over the way you folks have been treated by Glenn Beck over the last week. And he went into several tirades over the last week complaining about, well, first of all, misrepresenting the video that your father was put out there, the edited version of a video that was out there, which and tried to make him look like a racist. I'm sure you're aware of that.
Sure.
And just absolutely eviscerating him across for nearly a week. I don't think it's played out well for him, though.
Well, you know, and Glenn Beck, you know, I don't know. I always had a lot of hope and a lot of, you know, I thought Glenn Beck was standing for the side of freedom, and, boy, he sure hasn't treated us very good at all, and I don't understand that. I know that Glenn Beck's team called us, this was a week or, well, this was several weeks ago, actually, before we got our cattle back and everything, they went on starting to ask the same questions, the same, you know, dialogue that we had heard from every other mainstream media outlet. And it was obvious that they had went and spent about 3 hours of talk time with the BLM, with the other side, with the liberal side, before they ever called us, and had already had their opinions formulated. And my dad kind of got angry with them and says, of any people, you guys should know the Constitution. I shouldn't have to teach you these things. You should be able to figure the truth out without me having to explain it to you. I mean, isn't that what Glenn Beck, you know, isn't that the kind of position he's in? Isn't that who he's supposed to be, is, you know, liberty and freedom and you know, Constitution, understanding? And yet he didn't have the slightest idea. He didn't have it figured out. And so my dad basically says, you know, you go read your Constitution and then call me back, and then I'll talk to you again. So my dad hung up on him. And I think that must have ticked him off.
Was that Glenn Beck, or was that one of
his
reports?
No, it was his staff. It was his staff. But still, they, I mean, they're all part of the team, aren't they?
Yeah,
you know,
think.
And maybe he shouldn't have done that, but I know that he was frustrated at hearing the same thing over and over again picking up the dialogue that the BLM put out and then asking him the same exact questions. You know, we'd have thought we had a little higher expectation for Glenn Beck's crew is what I'm getting at.
Absolutely. And the rest of us did, too.
Now, we can expect that kind of dialogue from the lamestream media, but Glenn Beck, we had higher expectations of him. And,
well,
and yet he didn't. He didn't follow through, you know, or didn't measure up. So.
Well, go ahead, Cindy.
This is Cindy Ryan, and I think a lot of us feel the same way you do. We've been disappointed that Glenn Beck has not been standing, and not just Glenn Beck, other conservatives as well, have not been standing up on the side of liberty and not understanding that, that what you, your family is doing, we've needed someone to do for a long time, a lot of someone's, quite honestly, that understand their rights, understand states' rights, understand that the federal government is completely and totally out of control and outside the bounds and chains that the Constitution puts on it. And so we thank you for your stand. And, you know, it has to be disheartening for you guys to people who should be on your side aren't there the way they need to be there.
But that is disheartening. But, you know, I have – there's a talk show radio host here in – just locally, doesn't have, you know, it's not national by any means, but he has said for years that, that Glenn Beck and some of these others are not true conservatives, they're not true to the principles of freedom and constitution. He says they're controlled opposition. In other words, they don't truly want to oppose, but they oppose in a way, you know, oppose the government in a way that it remains controlled. In other words, and I think, and I've heard Glenn Beck personally say, you know, that never wants to see any type of, you know, armed opposition or anything of the sort. Are you still with me?
Yes.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, my phone's beeping like it's going to run out of battery, so if I lose you, that's what happens. I never really wanted to believe that. I always kind of believed that, you know, he was sincere, but... man, maybe after this, I think you might be right. So,
well, before we lose you, I wanted to get a couple questions in. There are a couple of other things that happened over the course of the weekend. There were rumors of maybe a leak from the government that you guys were going to be under some attack of drone strikes over the weekend.
Well, we've had about 500 of those rumors. There's a new one every day, and that's all they are, is rumors. I if anything is verified at some, you know, and we do have a team that kind of follows those and double checks them so that we're not caught unawares. But for the most part, we're not giving them much credence. If we did, we would be spinning in circles, chasing our tail constantly, crying wolf, so to speak, and we'd drive ourselves completely mad if we listened to every rumor that came across. So.
Yeah, absolutely. And the fact that Oath Keepers is no longer on the premises, is that true?
Well, the Oath Keepers officials are no longer on the premises, but there are plenty of Oath Keeper individuals who are. And yes and no.
Okay. Well, one thing that also struck us a little strange is, you know, people have made hay out of this race issue for the entire week, and that's been the huge focus. Clive and Bundy on race all week long from anybody that you hear. But I am not hearing any information, I'm hearing only very little information about the Harry Reid connection to the Chinese and the solar power farms and the mitigation land that they wanted to make your BLM land with for the tortoises and that. I mean, are you guys hearing any of that kind of information? Nobody's covering that
we
can see.
Well, isn't it obvious that's part of the design that they can
even from the right,
you know, even from the right? Well, which I don't know. Again, showing you that it might just be controlled opposition, but they're all hung up on this race issue, and there isn't a race issue. They're making it all up, okay? And I can verify this, tell you this for true, because number one, I'm there. I'm in my father's home. I know what he thinks. I've lived with him. You know, he's my father. I know him. Inside and out. I know exactly, you know, I don't know him exactly, but I know him 90%. I know what my dad is, okay? And I know darn good and well what his message was about. His message was trying to reach out to the black people and say, I see that that you could be more free and that you're being held back also by the federal government. Not just me. I can see that other people, other races, other groups, are being held back. And so his effort was to reach out to them and bring them in to help them along the way as well, because this is all, it's kind of all one deal. You know, the federal government, you know, got so many intrusive programs or whatever it might be that it's just enslaving people, including the blacks, including the whites, including the Hispanics, including they're just enslaving the nation. Okay, mm-hmm. So his message wasn't about race. His message was about liberty and freedom, and particularly called out to the black community, saying, you know, come and join with us here. We can help each other. And
absolutely.
So, and they try to make that thing into a race issue. You know, there isn't a race issue, is all I can say. Now, and again, I can say that whole thing of them trying to turn it all into a race issue is just to hide what the Harry Reid and what the real message is. And to me, it's pretty obvious what they're trying to do.
Yep.
And they're doing a good job at it, I guess.
Yeah, because there's no coverage of the Harry Reid issue and the Chinese solar farms or any of that kind of stuff. Nobody's talking about it at all. Has anything been filed against you folks? Has the government served you with any papers? Is there anything pending? Or have they made any steps to try to rein you in?
No. No.
So they just picked up their toys and went home?
Well, I know that there's been some meetings going on with, you know, town board members. I know I've been to the meetings. I know BLM has been to the meetings. I know the county people have been to the meetings. And I do know what Hartley's been being taught at those meetings. Anyway, I guess being that I wasn't there personally, so my information would be secondhand, but I don't really want to comment on that. But I do kind of know what they're thinking, and they're thinking they're beat, quite honestly. So,
well,
they know it.
Good.
And,
okay.
You know, the message that I want to get out before my phone goes dead is the message that my father put out right after we gathered the cattle back. His message was to the sheriff of each county in the United States. He said, go and disarm the bureaucracies in your county. Okay? The policing power that we have as individuals, we the people, we have delegated that power to only one person, and that is the county sheriff. The federal government absolutely does not have authority to enforce the law in any way, shape, or form. They have authority over the military, which is to protect our United States from outside invasions, et cetera, et cetera. They absolutely do not have policing power. This is an undisputed fact that the states and the counties have that power delegated to them by the people. And so what is the BLM doing with law enforcement on their vehicles? What are they doing with a khaki shirt and a badge that says law enforcement on there? What are they doing with these firearms and these military armaments? They have no authority to have them. And so my father has called upon the county sheriffs to say, disarm the bureaucracy. And we're not talking just the BLM, the bureaucracy. That includes the FBI. That includes Homeland Security. That includes Forest Service. It includes the bureaucracy. They have no authority to enforce the law or policing power. And so if we are going to make the next step, now my father and I, we've made the first step.
Mr. Bundy? I think Mr. Bundy's cell phone has died. We will try to get him back at another time. We appreciate his time and his efforts to keep us updated on all of the efforts and situations going on down at the Bundy Ranch. Let's take a break, and I think we'll come back and discuss the impeachment issue in Oklahoma regarding the Supreme Court judges.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org for details.
My fellow Americans, Ask not what your country can do for you. Ask what you can do for your country.
And the government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
This is Lisa Payne Nager. You're listening to Missouri Grassroots Radio and Culture Vigilante with Sydney McGee and Lisa Payne Nager. And we're so happy to be joined with a couple of representatives from the great state of Oklahoma who have taken a huge step, which, you know, maybe we need to ship some of that drinking water back here to Missouri, because Cindy and I have been talking for quite some time how important it is for folks to take control of their judiciary. We don't have control of our judiciary here in Missouri, and probably most of the states in the union can say the same. What they've done in Oklahoma, because of a controversial murder case, and a ruling regarding the execution of two individuals who committed heinous crimes there in Oklahoma, have filed articles of impeachment against nearly half of the Supreme Court there, which just is just a huge move. I just, you know, the spines that these people must have to do something like that has never been seen here in Missouri. We're hoping that this kind of takes fire and catches wind here a little bit. We have Republican Representative Mike Christian of the Oklahoma State Legislature and Mike Turner of Congress. Are you a candidate, Mr. Turner, or are you a representative in the Congress of Oklahoma?
Actually, I am a state representative. I serve with Representative Mike Christian. I'm actually currently running for the 5th District U.S. Congressional seat of Oklahoma.
Okay, welcome, gentlemen. Thank you for being on with me tonight. The teeth nearly dropped out of my head when actually I think Cindy's husband forwarded this article to me this week about what you folks are doing down there in Oklahoma. First, Mr. Christian, can you give me a little bit of background about this case and about the situation that, you know, started this whole deal with the judges?
Well, Lisa, what happened, these individuals committed some heinous crimes back in the late 90s, and they filed a motion in district court, which said that they needed to disclose the chemical makeup of the drugs that were administered through the execution. And the way that Oklahoma has a bifurcated system, they have a court of criminal appeals, which is the court of last resort, and then the Oklahoma Supreme Court, which primarily deals with civil cases. And for whatever reason, the Oklahoma Supreme Court took the case, which is the first time in Oklahoma history, and decided to stay the execution and bypass the court of criminal appeals. When myself and Representative Turner were made aware of this, we realized that they breached the Oklahoma Constitution, and through a lot of discussion, we decided to file articles of impeachment on these five justices because they had breached their constitutional oath of office. And that's where we're at today.
So it's my understanding, and correct me if I'm wrong because, you know, I'm not up to speed on it completely, but it's my understanding that the state legislature, the House of Representatives, files articles of impeachment against your judiciary there. Do you guys oversee that process, or does your Senate oversee that process?
The way it works is when we found out that there was a breach of the Constitution, we filed articles of impeachment, and it pretty much mirrors the federal level. When we're still discussing, everything's happening pretty fast. I'm sure you saw last night what they call a bond execution. Everything's kind of happening fast, but if the articles move forward in the next few weeks, it will be brought to the House floor, and if it passes by 51 members of the 101 members of the House, there will be convened a 10 managers will be signed as a prosecution, and then the Oklahoma Senate will sit as the jurors, and then because all the other four justices that were not subject to impeachment, they would be recused or have to recuse themselves because they're witnesses to the state. And then we will have a trial determine if they actually violated their oath of office in the Constitution for neglect of duty and or incompetence.
Okay. The two of you gentlemen worked together on this in the House of Representatives in Oklahoma. What's your feeling? What's the temperature there? How
I think Representative Turner would concur that obviously today it's all over national news of the botched execution, but Oklahoma is a believer in the death penalty. They believe in capital punishment, and myself and Representative Turner, I think we're an accurate reflection of the people of Oklahoma. But you know, the primary reason, even if it was for jaywalking or a DUI case, the minute they reached that line with the Oklahoma Constitution, I think Representative Turner would agree with me that we'd be derelict in our duties to not look at this serious and file these articles and bring back power, the separation of powers with the three branches of government. And ironically, Lisa, after we filed the articles of impeachment, within 4 hours, the Oklahoma Supreme Court had an emergency hearing, an emergency conference, and decided to reverse their stay, which, you know, and some people have an opinion that they actually violated their oath of office even then, because it's not the proper venue to reverse that stay.
Oh, that's very interesting. Okay, so tell me, you know, this is such an enormous move. You know, we here in Missouri have been discussing judicial overreach in matters of family, in matters of family courts. I'm sure you've been following Tina Pelletier.
Yes, ma'am.
And other issues like that. We have several cases like that floating around in Missouri. There are cases probably all over the country that just never seem to see the light of day. The media just doesn't pick up on it. People do not understand the severe overreach of the judiciary in many, many issues. I mean, this is a very controversial case. This particular situation was, you know, heinous murders. These two girls were just raped, murdered, shot, beaten, just terribly, terribly, just horrible situation. For the judiciary to create a stay of execution over, you know, questioning the method of the drug that's being delivered. I mean, what does that say about you have a very left-wing judiciary there? Your governor is on board with your actions for this this impeachment. How, you know, how did you get such a left-leaning
that
judiciary?
May or may not be necessarily true as to whether or not she's on board.
We'll let Richard Turner answer that question.
Okay.
Well, there's been some other interesting developments regarding Second Amendment rights in Oklahoma. A correlated, you know, crime and justice aspect is that we have now set precedents for a Republican-controlled majority veto overriding a Republican governor due to a disagreement about the correct interpretation of a Second Amendment law, which actually is what I did today, is I have overridden the governor on that. Which has now opened up a can of worms. So we have an interesting situation where the Oklahoma executive branch, the Oklahoma judicial branch, and the Oklahoma legislative branch, and within that, the two houses that comprise the legislature, no one is seeing eye to eye. And so everybody is jockeying. So any aspect of judicial reform, you know, telling the justices that this is their job and this is what they need to be doing, it is a very, very stressful and delicate situation where, at the end of the day, the people are wanting a very clear and concise, hey, from the judicial aspect, these are individuals that obviously are not fit to be part of any society. Raping and murdering a baby is unconscionable on any level, and I don't think any individual could reasonably claim that they're fit to even be in a jail cell. You have people like that. You have justices that are disagreeing and quibbling over what is the appropriate use of capital punishment. And then we, you know, where there's common ground is that it's clear that the executive branch and the legislature, we feel very strongly that the judges need to do their constitutional duty and render the appropriate judgments within the appropriate jurisdiction.
Well, okay, so that's interesting because I'm not aware, you know, in Missouri, I think we have a little bit different situation. We don't have our higher level court split. At least I'm not sure that we have our higher level courts into the criteria that you guys do in Oklahoma. But as far as jurisdiction goes, I mean, this is a very heinous case, but there are probably, at least in Missouri, there are cases, you know, that are horrible, not maybe not as heinous as the case that you all folks are dealing with, that never get addressed. As far as judicial overreach, how do you see that whole issue in Oklahoma? Is judicial overreach a problem there, even on less levels?
Judicial overreach in general of any kind is a very serious problem in Oklahoma. Representative Christian and I, as well as a handful of others, unfortunately, have been pushing for a judicial reform package within our state. We have a trial bar. When you read through who those individuals donate to, you find very clear evidence that they're not aligned with liberty, they're not aligned with conservative values, or really even constitutional values and what this republic of ours was founded upon. Unfortunately, it died a very severe death on the House floor, so we were not able to have really too much in the way of judicial dragging the judiciary back in line with the appropriate values and holding them accountable to the people. So we are naturally looking at the impeachment as yet another avenue where justices have clearly gone beyond their scope, because our Court of Criminal Appeals is our criminal Supreme Court, if you will, and our Supreme Court is the civil Supreme Court. And the egregious overstep of the civil Supreme Court going into the bounds that for over 100 years were our criminal Supreme Court has clearly shown, as our dissenting Supreme Court justices have said, an overreach that has never before been seen. So therefore, they're unconstitutional and worthy of impeachment.
So can we kind of clear up, maybe make it a little clear about the role that your governor is playing in this situation?
The governor, repeat that question again. Sorry, it was breaking up.
Oh, I'm sorry. I'm not really clear on how your governor, where she stands.
The governor in the executive branch is very firmly in the position, as far as the House can tell, there needs to be some sort of judicial reform, judicial oversight, to bring the justices back to the table and let them know that, hey, you all have to represent the people as well on some level. You do not get absolute autonomy above and beyond the people of Oklahoma. And so she has worked very, very hard with the House as well as the Senate to bring in judicial reform packages here. This impeachment case really typifies a lot of the problems where we've had activist judges, if you will, clearly go outside the scope of where they're normally practicing.
But Lisa, I think this is from Christian back. I think it's not just in Oklahoma or Missouri. I think it's across this country. The judicial activists are legislating from the bench, and there's only one way. And even in the United States Congress, one of the powers the United States Congress has is the power of impeachment, but they won't step forward and do those things.
Well, that's true. Clearly, we have issues on the federal level where impeachment is to happen, and I know that it's. Oh, we just lost Mr. We lost somebody there.
Yes, ma'am, I'm here.
Okay, I'm sorry. We absolutely have issues where impeachment needs to happen. I see it every day here in Missouri. There are issues where judges are clearly derelict in their duty, and there's a lot of finagling that goes on behind the scenes to where we absolutely, judges are going beyond their scope of relevance, even to the extent where they're not keeping good tabs on what's going on in their courtroom. Things are escalating out of control. They're allowing it to go that way. I would consider dereliction of duty in a lot of cases. Are you seeing that any of that kind of finagling going on in the case that you're working on now? It seems like something being thrown into the mix.
Well, the only thing we've done is we brought some balance back by actually following the orders of impeachment. There's been balance been brought back between the three branches of government. Mm-hmm. But on the other hand, I also say that anybody that knowingly and willfully violates their oath of office, as a retired state trooper here in Oklahoma, I raise my right hand to uphold the Constitution, and as I did as a member of the legislature, they take that same oath. And the minute they violate their constitutional oath, I think the one avenue that we have as a legislature is to file articles of impeachment. And by the way, we do take it very serious, and I do anyway. And again, I don't think it's just in Oklahoma. I think across this great land of ours, I think it's happening. And it's these people forget where they're from, and they do. They try to legislate from the bench. And and some people in our body, especially the lawyers, you always want to talk to some of the lawyers. They're kind of risk averse because they may have to practice before these folks. But again, I think I'd be there. Like the people of Oklahoma didn't send me to the state capitol to sit on my hands. And I think I would be derelict if I didn't do something about it after you see that they knowingly did this. And they should never have taken that case, the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals. We have a bifurcated system. They should, or the Supreme Court rather, they should never have taken that case. Well, they did, and the former Chief Justice Stephen Taylor commented and gave a dissenting opinion saying that our court has crossed the Rubicon. We have violated the Constitution. And if he could speak openly about it, I think he would say, yes, we have violated the Oklahoma Constitution, and we probably are subject to impeachment. That could be exactly the reason. I don't know because I wasn't on that conference or behind the scenes, but there's a reason why they reversed their decision and said move on with the execution. And again, whether it's a DUI law that they violated or jaywalking, they violated their oath of office, and I think articles of impeachment were the proper things to do in order to put these people in check and bring balance back to Oklahoma and the separation of powers.
Good. Cindy, did you have a question?
I do. Representative Christian, first of all, I just want to say I appreciate what you're doing there in Oklahoma because I think it's long overdue that our state legislature and hopefully someday our Congress will take that job seriously because our government is made up of a balance of powers. You have your legislative, your judicial, and your executive branches, and we haven't seen much happen in many, many decades where those three branches act effectively to hold each other in check when they need to. So thank you for that. What do you think the chances are that and do you think that probably the most effective form, I would say that, tell me what you think, do you think the most effective form, do we really need judicial reform, or do we simply need people like yourself standing up, having taken an oath of office yourself, and upholding your state constitution, and holding those who try to violate the Constitution, who have taken that same oath, holding their feet to the fire, and using the tools that your Constitution gave you to punish them when they do the wrong thing? Wouldn't that be the best form of judicial reform we could have in this country?
You're absolutely right. And again, I don't know what went on, but apparently after filing the articles of impeachment, within 4 hours they took the threat serious because they reversed. Now people are asking me, are you moving forward? And everything's happening so fast. Again, the execution occurred last night. I said, now how can I pull it off the table when they normally violate the Oklahoma Constitution, by even the dissenting judge's opinion? So, the threat's been made, they reverse her, and I'm glad that they reversed their decision, but even though these judges here, they violated their oath of office by even taking the case in the first place. It should have stayed with the Oklahoma Court of Criminal Appeals and never moved into their venue, and that's what the dissenting judges are saying. That's the reason they're not being impeached for the five that voted to say, yes, we'll take this criminal case. And yes,
so, you
so they did
to
reverse.
Move
so we did balance. We did cause balance to come back, but we move forward? It's still, yes. I mean, we have now until next session, which will be February of next year, so it's still on the table. And there's going to be this, again, it's happening so fast, there's going to be some serious discussions on whether we should move forward. I think the numbers are really close. I've been told that the Oklahoma Senate that would be the jurors, they understand the significance, the importance of this, and how serious it is. And I think it would be really interesting and be nice to send a message across this country that, yes, the state legislatures across this country do have the power. We are the closest. The state legislatures in this country are the closest to the people. Every 2 years, we go up for reelection, and we're having to knock doors, and we're making those personal contacts with the people of this country. And we hear the problems. We know we hear the voice of the people, and I think that's where it starts. And knowing what you have is what you said, the constitutional duty, that we can do this to send a message to those other two branches of government that we do have the powers of impeachment.
It's Wouldn't you say it's also a responsibility to your constituents, to the people of Oklahoma, to go ahead and follow through with this? If I'm not mistaken, I don't know if it was you or Representative Turner who made the point that the Supreme Court overstepped their power again when they reversed their decision without appropriate venue to do that through.
That was my point. Whenever they reversed, someone said, well, are you going to back off now? I said, well, they just violated their oath again. That wasn't their proper venue. They made a stay of the stay of execution. They turned around after all this impeachment were filed and reversed it. But they were outside the proper jurisdiction, so they actually violated their oath of office for a second time. And there was an opinion rendered by the same dissenting judge who said, I've cautioned this court that we have crossed the Rubicon. We have now again violated the Oklahoma Constitution. So even the four justices that dissented, now they're witnesses in the case against their own colleagues.
So it's the chicken guarding the hen house, or the fox guarding the hen house.
Absolutely. And I'm not saying I don't know any of those individuals personally, but probably some good men and women on the bench. And the reason for impeachment is incompetence. If they don't even understand the Oklahoma Constitution and the issue of separation of powers, then why should they be on the bench? But the way we find out is through subpoena and putting them on the stand. Give them their day in court.
Let me ask you this, Representative Christian. Like it is in Oklahoma, the way it is in Missouri, and I know it is on the federal level, it's really the legislature's, it's one of the legislature's main responsibilities to monitor the judiciary. Yet you never really hear of that. You know, when people are campaigning, you don't, you know, very, very little of the civics of that issue really gets out to the mainstream. So much reluctance on the part of elected representation in the legislative branch to go after, you know, to do exactly what you are doing, holding the judiciary's feet to the fire to make sure they stay in the bounds of their duties, you know, to keep them from crossing. They will not slap their hands. Hopefully
the good folks in Missouri, the people who listen to this, your legislature will hear this and understand that you have that power and that duty to make sure to keep that. Those other two, the executive and judicial branch, if you have an executive branch that crosses the line, you should hold them in check. But again, sometimes people just forget that other branch of government are, quite frankly, legislating from the bench. And I think the people across this country, they're starting to wake up, and they're fired up. If you saw the hate mail that I'm getting, because it was an execution last night, and one, it didn't go so well. I've had a great deal of hate mail, not from any of the surrounding states, but from the more liberal states. You know, they're saying I'm the devil and everything else. Mm-hmm. But you know, I've got pretty thick skin and broad shoulders, so I can take it. But again, you know, this country is going down the tubes, and I think part of it is our judiciary across this country. Most obviously, grassroots Missouri. You know, I probably, without even knowing where you're going to stand, you probably agree philosophically on just about everything. And I think it's a major problem across this country. And at some point, our members of the legislature, we should stand up and say enough is enough, and realize why you're put in office. And do your job. And I've said this a number of times today. The people of Oklahoma didn't put me at the Capitol to sit on my hands and not do anything.
Very good.
It's
I can't
just,
imagine.
You know, trying to convince other members to realize, and those that I've talked to, we tried this judicial nominating committee where an association actually determines who's going to be picked for the bench. You know, we tried to do some reforms last week, and we failed in that measure, which was one of the governor's prerogatives. She was trying to push this, and we needed some reforms. It failed, but a lot of those members that voted against the reform, they actually said they would vote for all this impeachment after they found out that these folks willfully and neglectfully and incompetently violate the Constitution. So, you know, I think we've sent a clear message, but again, I don't know if she can back off after you know that five individuals did violate the Constitution. But, you know, I'm only one member of 101. I think we'll just see where it goes.
Absolutely.
Are the people of Oklahoma engaging on this?
Pardon me?
Are the people of Oklahoma engaging in this issue?
Yes, it is. And again, I don't know if you've read Fox News and some of the other places. I mean, because we had that execution last night, it's become part of the forefront. And even back on that note, I was telling everybody today, I said, listen, I said, what you're trying to do is you're trying to push us into what happened in Europe and they're trying to do a moratorium on the death penalty, and some are saying that if Oklahoma goes south, the rest of the states will follow suit on capital punishment. And you know, I was beat up pretty bad by saying, look, I don't care if it's by lethal injection, by the guillotine, by hanging, by the gas chamber, electric chair, or feed them to the lions. I look forward to justice being served on these heinous crimes and these individuals that have committed these.
Right.
But you know,
good
when I say
you.
When you say feed them to the lions, you know, you get a lot of liberal folks across the country that you know like to call me names.
Where are those liberal folks when those girls were being raped and murdered and shot and buried alive?
Well, believe it or not, last night they called it a botched execution, which took the subject 40 minutes to pass, and they're saying that he suffocated. But what the story is out east, they're not saying is that the 19-year-old that he shot with a shotgun twice after she, you know, dug her own grave, he got upset because she was pleading for her life, asking, please don't kill me, and he buried her alive and suffocated her under the earth. And now there's folks saying that, you know, it was cruel and unusual because he was given a lethal injection and he didn't expire for 40 minutes. To me, I told him without any kind of pun intended that it makes my blood boil to think of what happened if, you know, being a father and a former lawman, if you put yourself in the shoes of that family, you know, to me it's mm-hmm. beyond the pale what they did, and how can you say it was cruel and unusual for what they did compared to what they had to endure last night or he had to endure last night?
Without question. Well, Representative Mike Christian and Representative Mike Turner, thank you so much for what you're doing. I hope you'll come back with us some and give us an update on how this is going. We're going to watch this very closely. What you folks are doing is groundbreaking. Unfortunately, it's groundbreaking, you know, news that you folks are actually doing what all legislatures across the country should be doing. But thank you for doing it.
Yes, ma'am. Well, I'll tell you what. You keep up the good work in Missouri and get those people fired up, and I think we can make a difference here in America.
Very good luck to you, sir. Thank you.
Thank you, Lisa.
We're going to take a quick break, and we will be right back with Mark Messer and another person whose name I forgot. We'll find out when we come back. I'm sorry. We'll be right back.
You live here?
Yes.
Well, maybe you know what a zombie is.
When a person dies and is buried, it seems there's certain voodoo priests who have the power to bring him back to life.
Horrible.
It's worse than horrible because a zombie has no will of his own. You see them sometimes walking around blindly with dead eyes, following orders, not knowing what they do, not caring.
You mean like Democrats?
Have you joined Missouri Grassroots Coalition yet? The results of the 2012 election proved that the grassroots conservatives need to work harder to make their voices heard in government. The best way for Missouri conservatives to make their voices heard is to join together within the Missouri Grassroots Coalition Network and show our elected that we are a strong, unified, conservative voice in Missouri. Go to the website, MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, and click on the Join tab. Give us your contact information so that we can keep you updated on the latest developments in Jefferson City and beyond. Also, sign up for GrassFire Alerts so that you can get immediate notifications when we need to call grassroots conservatives together in action. Use the MGC network to help your grassroots organization speak with a louder voice, combined with grassroots groups across the state. Together, we can strengthen the conservative voice in Missouri.
Our well-being at home and our leadership abroad are inextricably linked. Our friends and allies must again be able to trust us. From Israel to Colombia, from Poland to the Philippines, our allies and friends have to know that we will be reliable and consistent and determined. And our foes, can have no reason to doubt our resolve because peace really does come through strength.
Just when you thought it was all over, when you thought it was time to hang it all up, Lisa is back.
We're back. This is Lisa Payne Nigger. I'm with Sid. You're listening to Color Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. And during the last election, the November election, you heard us cover ad nauseum the issue here in St. Charles County and how we narrowly lost the right to keep our sheriff's department in lieu of an appointed chief. There are some folks here in St. Charles County who understand very well how important it is to maintain a county sheriff. in your governmental structure, and what that does for your rights and your liberties. And they're working very hard to kind of reverse that initiative, and they're here tonight to talk about the progress they're making and the efforts that are going into taking care of that issue here in St. Charles County. And again, remind us as well why we all need a sheriff's department in our county. Welcome, Mark Messer and Rod Zare. Thank you so much, gentlemen, for coming on the show tonight to give us an update on this important issue.
Thank you, Lisa.
Okay,
thank you,
gentlemen.
Lisa. Hi, Cindy.
So just real quickly, let's give a very brief history of what happened in St. Charles County and why we so foolishly lost the ability to maintain our sheriff's department here.
You want to pick that up, Mark?
Sure, go ahead.
Mark, go ahead.
Oh, I'm sorry. I thought he asked if he wanted to do it. As you stated, Lisa, in the last November, the voters were duped into getting rid of the elected sheriff and stripping him of his law enforcement duties and creating a new countywide police department. The city council did this by running this initiative through at the last minute. Even with the 3 or 4 weeks notice we had, we tried to save our sheriff campaign, or SOS.
Mm-hmm.
And we got out the information to the voters in that November election that there was a bad issue and we didn't want to see that happen, and it still narrowly passed by 0.72 or 76%. So it was very close in margin.
It was like 100 votes or something silly. It was really, really like 100 votes.
Yeah, and I don't know if the recount was ever done or not, but, you know, to do that, it cost money, and, you know, a lot of people didn't have it at the time. I thought someone was going to do it, but I don't think it was ever done. So now the burden is on us, the people, to get this reversed. And the only way we can do that is by collecting 18,000 signatures by mid-July of this year to get it on the November ballot. And our ballot is very clear and concise. It's only a two-sentence statement and basically says to retain the elected sheriff and repeal the creation of the countywide police department. Now, why we might be against this is because we want an elected sheriff that's answerable to the people. If you look around our great nation, there's plenty of cops shooting homeless men for no reason, tasing people, etc. So if we save the position of the elected sheriff and then get a constitutional sheriff in that position, the people will be protected. And that's our goal.
Absolutely. So there is an initiative. Is it still the Save Our Sheriff initiative? Is it called by another name that's been put forth to go out and collect signatures to put this on the ballot in November?
Elisa, it's now called the Sheriff Preservation Initiative. We thought the name would be a little bit more concise and a little bit more on target as to what our initiative is this time. And being a ballot initiative, we thought the word initiative should be included in that.
Very good. So who initiated this organization, and what is it that you're exactly trying to do?
Mark, I think you may know the background of that a little bit better.
Oh, sure. It was originally started up by the St. Charles County Liberty Project, which does a lot of great things for liberty in our county. There was some disputes going on there, and I think it was taken over by a different group of individuals. And it's kind of had a slow struggle getting going. And we've had volunteers that want to contact us and weren't able to for different reasons. So it's kind of been a slow start and a struggle. It's definitely feasible and can be done if people just get up and realize that this is one of the most important things in St. Charles County right now that we have going on. And if we have enough volunteers, they wouldn't even have to collect 5,200 signatures each, and we can easily hit that 18,000 number.
So how far along in the process are we?
Do you want to take that, Rod? Go ahead.
Yeah, I think we're probably right around 20% right now, aren't we, Mark?
Yeah, roughly. We still have to log in some entries, and we have a great person doing that. His name's Tony Tawa. He lives in New Jersey, and he has collected most of the signatures. So he's a live free or die statesman for sure. So that just proves that you don't have to live in St. Charles County to even affect change. You can live in a different state or even in St. Louis City or county, there's lots of things you can do to make sure this initiative is successful. And if you don't like talking to strangers or approaching strangers, you consider these opportunities. You can ask your family, spouse, siblings, aunts, uncles, who are all registered voters in St. Charles County, to sign it. You can talk to your friends, dancing buddies, softball teammates, fellow soccer moms, next-door neighbors, etc., or your colleagues, coworkers, fellow petitioners, or fellow members of civic groups. So there's a lots of room to impact change in this county.
So how does that, you know, can you give me some detail on how that works if you live in New Jersey or outside of the county? Is this an electronic issue? Can people go to a website? What, do you have to have a physical signature on a piece of paper? How does this work?
Unfortunately, yes.
Go ahead, Mark. Yeah, actually, there has to be a written sign-in log, which has a printed name, the written signature, a complete address, and that type of information. So we do have to gather those in person. We cannot do that electronically.
Can anybody
that being said,
yeah,
Lisa, you don't
anybody,
have to be. Go ahead.
Can anybody
I'm sorry.
Gather those signatures? I'm sorry.
Yes, anybody can gather them, but the signatures have to be registered St. Charles County voters. That's the only stipulation.
Okay, right. Understood.
So when we ask for help, that's anybody that wants to fight tyranny in the county. And, you know, they can live in St. Charles or St. Louis County, St. Louis City, and still be worried about tyranny in the neighboring township. So if they would like to come over and help, there's amplitude of ways they can help out.
Okay, so let's talk about some of those ways. I mean, how can we get people involved and engaged? Because if you're only 20% and your deadline is in July, a lot of work needs to happen between then and now. How can we get things rolling here? What actually step-by-step do people need to do?
Well, I'd like Rod to take that over because he recently joined with his wife, Jerry Zier, who is our coordinator for the volunteers, and the effort has gotten a great boost with those two. So I'd like for Rod to answer that, please.
Okay.
Well, actually, you can do it in a couple different ways, and one would be through the website where we have information. You basically can send emails to info@sheriffpreservation.com and get information to this. There's also a phone number you can call, which is 636-388-8767. Or if you want to call directly into the volunteer coordinator, you can do that at 314-302-9455. But we can pick up, again, as Mark alluded to, you know, volunteers can be from anywhere, virtually anywhere in the country. It's just that we do have to physically collect those signatures here in St. Charles County.
How does that happen if someone is not in the county?
Well, they can basically come over and coordinate with us, and then we'll have several locations throughout the course of the next few months where we will be collecting signatures. Those will be publicized ahead of time, and then the respective volunteers or those people who would like to help with the sign-up can tell us which locations they would like to work and what time frame.
Okay, and when people gather the physical signatures, what do they do? How do they get that information to you?
Well, we will give them the forms to fill out. Once they fill those out, we collect those. They go to a central location. There's a verification process on our side. They're then notarized and then submitted to the election authority.
Okay. Now, it's been my understanding in the past, because of what I was told when this situation started, when people started talking about gathering signatures, it's very complicated. There are a lot of steps that you have to go through. You have to make sure certain things are done exactly the right way. How complicated of a process is this, actually?
Well, it's actually not as complicated as one would think. As long as the name basically matches that on the registration files and database, the address matches, and then we try to get a zip code to help us narrow in as to the exact location of that voter. If all of that information is correct, the verification is actually pretty pretty quick.
I think what you're referring to, Lisa, is we have to be pretty firm on the way we collect the signatures. We have to make sure that
That's
we
correct.
get the date with the year on it so it's not thrown out and the signature would be invalid. We have to make sure, as Rod stated, we get the zip code so the signature is not invalid. It has to be in black ink so it's not invalid, and it has to have no quotation marks. If the husband and wife were to sign it, they can't put ditto marks underneath the address. They have to physically write it out twice. So if we adhere to those specific guidelines, the signatures will be good. Per our conversation with Rich Krismer, who's the director of elections in St. Charles County, the signature shall be good and not thrown out.
Okay, great. Okay, so have you gentlemen got any events planned where you plan to hit the streets, plan to hit organizations, you know, events? Is there anything on the books for a mass campaign?
Yes, we'll certainly be hitting a lot of the major events here in St. Charles County, those being some of the larger fairs and public events, such as 4th of July and other celebrations that we have here, Memorial Day. We're also looking at possibly targeting some of the sports events here in the county, which draw a substantial number of voters.
Excellent.
And then any smaller events that we can locate.
Okay.
Lisa and Cindy, all you have to do is put this on the forefront in your mind, and I can tell you how easy it is to collect signatures. I belong to several different liberty-minded groups to fight for liberties and rights of the county, of the citizens. And if I have a meeting one night, let's say at the library, I'll show up a half an hour early, collect 7 to 10 signatures in that half an hour. So it's very easy to obtain these signatures by just talking to people. If you just remember that this is a high priority in your life, carry around the pamphlets and business cards and literature that direct you to websites and phone numbers that we have that we will furnish you with. It's very easy. You can get these signatures by just talking. There's a 95% success rate in obtaining the signature because most of the citizens, after you point out what corruption is going on in this town, will gladly sign it and say, we want to put it before the voters again. Let the voters decide. And that's all the signatures do. There's no harm done by signing this petition. You just get it on the ballot for next November, and it's revoted on.
Excellent. Okay, sounds like you guys have kind of covered all the bases. One more time, give me the information about how folks can get in touch with you, what the websites are, and how to get this rolling, how to pull in these volunteers.
Okay, Mark, do you have that website location?
Yeah, it's on the regular, excuse me, on the Internet. It's sheriffspreservation.com.
Okay.
And then also on Facebook, it's the Sheriff's Preservation Initiative.
Okay. I'm typing it in.
And then there's also a Twitter. It would be hashtag SCCSPI, St. Charles County Sheriff Preservation Initiative, all initials SCCSPI.
All right, very good. And from that website and those Facebook and Twitter accounts, we can get in touch with you, get all the information that we need to get to the pages for the signatures and get rolling and be able to turn that in. And the deadline again for the signatures is?
Mid-July. I don't have the exact date. And again, I'd like to stress how important this is. If anybody wants to affect change in the county, all you have to do is put it in the forefront of your mind. You can spend as little as 10 to 30 minutes a day or a week working on it. Any help is appreciated. If you just feel like you can gather some signatures from your friends and family, great. Contact us. We'll hook you up with the items needed to obtain the signatures, give you a little bit of training. Maybe we can go out with you if you want. It doesn't have to be as intimidating as it sounds.
Okay, very good. Sheriffspreservation.com for all that information. Guys, thanks so much for what you're doing because this is very important for our county. We've got, the last couple of years, St. Charles County has just lost a lot of liberty with King Elman, our county executive, and all of the hanky-panky that goes on with our county aldermen there and the things that they've done. And this literally was a situation that was kind of placed before the aldermen, you know, just 2 or 3 weeks before the election. So it was just, it was all very shady. And with all of the things that we've been watching going on across the country with the Bundys and all of the other things, you need a county sheriff. If you're not happy with the way your law enforcement is acting, you need to be able to vote them out of office. This is just paramount for every level of government.
It might be important to note, too, that with a little bit of research, you can see that they're trying to get rid of every elected position in St. Charles County via the director of
every
elections, et cetera.
Every elected position. Really?
Yeah, they want to make them all appointed.
Yeah, this very much comes down to our ability to vote for our elected officials in St. Charles County, and the trend has been since the charter has been passed to eliminate most of those elected positions to where we're down to like five or six positions at this point, and we certainly do not want to see that go any further.
Okay, well, that sounds like that's an understanding for today. I think I'd like you gentlemen to come back and discuss that in greater detail, if you don't mind, because that's kind of not a good thing. That's the first I've heard of this. Now, I know that some of these positions over time have been, charter has changed on certain levels of government, but every government in our county, really? Hello?
Oh, I didn't hear you, Lisa. You were breaking up.
Oh,
I think
I'm sorry.
Bad connection.
Okay. All right. Well, anyway, gentlemen, I'd love to have you come back and talk in more depth on that issue because, having appointed officials at any level of government is not a good idea, and we'd love to have some more details on that. Anyway, go to sheriffspreservation.com, get that information, and I hope you'll come back soon and give us an update on how the initiative is going. Thanks, guys.
You're welcome, Lisa.
We certainly will do. Thank you very much, Lisa.
Okay, thanks. Let's take one more real quick break, and Cindy and I will be back to wrap it up.
The affirmative task we have now is to actually create a new world order, because the global order is changing again. And the institutions and rules that worked so well in the post-World War II era for decades, they need to be strengthened.
Hey, free market capitalist Missouri business owners, show Missouri and the rest of the country what hardworking, successful entrepreneurship looks like by advertising your business on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Get your message out to liberty-loving citizens who want to support liberty-loving capitalists. Target this unique and widespread market with your business's unique and valuable products and services. Contact us at info@missourigrassrootscoalition.org for details.
The government of the people, by the people, for the people, shall not perish from the earth.
This is Lisa Payne Nager. Thank you for covering for me, Cindy McGee. I just was on the line with Rod Zare in the break there. St. Charles County is thinking about getting some MRAP. Who knew? Okay, those guys are definitely coming back. Oh, my God. We're all doomed. MRAP. Seriously.
Just when you thought it couldn't get any worse.
I know. My God. There's not going to be enough militia across the country to help.
Sheriff to oversee any of it.
The sheriff we've got now is not, we need a constitution. You know, not only do you need a sheriff that's elected, you need a constitutional sheriff because, I'm telling you, What a mess.
Understood, but without that office being there to fill with a constitutional person, you know, you have nothing to work with. So,
yeah.
You guys are in trouble there in St. Charles.
Yeah, you know, St. Charles County is supposed to be one of the most conservative Republican counties in the state.
Mm.
You know, I mean, you know, this is like, you know, Republican Central here, supposedly. But I've known for a very long time that, you know, it's rhino land out here.
Mm-hmm.
It's, you know, I think it's just been for so long, people have been resting on their laurels, just assuming that everything's okay because we put an R in office. And, you know, and St. Charles, maybe just like a lot of other counties. I mean, I'm a member of the Pachyderms Club out here, and, you know, there are a lot of patriot groups out here, and, you know, people are active. So, I mean, we see our representatives on a local, on a regular basis. you know, we run into them at the grocery stores and at the meetings, and we have lunches together and dinners together, and, you know, they're not, you know, they're not completely out of reach. And I think what has happened, at least here in St. Charles County, is there's this, and here we go back on my soapbox again, but there's this level of, oh, they're our friend. You know, we eat lunch with them. We they're elected, and we really enjoy rubbing elbows with the elected because they're kind of an elite class, and we don't want to, you know, then you can't hold them accountable, you know, and they just continue to get elected to the office because they're familiar to us, and we see them all the time, and we work on their campaigns, and, you know, and then they vote MRAP in for, good God, it's going to explode. Anyway, folks, you know, you've got to be willing, you know, once somebody gets elected to office, they become your servant, your public servant. And, you know, in the immortal words of Clint Eastwood, when they're not getting the job done, you got to let them go, because they are no longer your friend once they get elected to office. They need to be booted out of office. They're not entitled to stay there. In fact, it's not actually a good idea for them to stay there very long, because they get too embedded in the system, you know. They're not, and they cease to want to go there to shake things up. They want to go there to be part of the system. They want to be a cog in the wheel and keep it moving, because there are certain perks and benefits to being king. You know, to being the elite, elected royalty. You know, it's just not a good time. It's not a good idea to let them stay there for very long. They get too cozy with the lobbyists and the special interests that are there, you know, on a daily basis, that get paid to go there and influence them, even on the local levels of your local county governments. There are a lot of special interests come to these offices with checks in hand for campaign contributions, and, you know, they have dinner together, and it's not a good idea for people to be there long term, folks. Some people, you know, will tell you that we need term limits are not really a good thing. You want people there because you need folks with experience and understand how things work. But I'm telling you, there's a rule book. There's a guidebook. It's your city and county charter, it's your state constitution, it's your federal constitution. There is an instruction manual on how these things are supposed to work. And if it's any more complicated than that, then somebody's not doing their job, because it shouldn't be that complicated.
But Lisa, you forgot the most important rule book.
Oh, which one is that?
The party rule book.
Oh, the party line. I forgot.
Yeah, the party rule book is much more important than the Constitution, or your city charter, or your federal constitution.
Exactly, Cindy, because why else wouldn't it be enough for us to have a Republican supermajority in our House of Representatives, in our Senate, to where we could overrule anything a Democratic governor could veto without, you know, why else would we, you know, maybe we need a Republican governor as well. Let's monopolize the entire situation. Let's eliminate checks and balances. Let's just, you know, let's create a Republican dynasty, you know, or a Democratic dynasty, whatever, because, you know, the constitutions and the charters, they're just, you know, throw the caution to the wind.
They're just there as guidelines. They don't really mean anything. And, you know, I say this all tongue-in-cheek, as you do, but it's actually kind of hard to be very amused by it, because it is so true, and the damage that it is doing to our states, our counties, our states, and our union of states is just mind-boggling at this point, because that's exactly what's been going on. They have ignored the very things that they run claiming to support, and they just become a part of the, quote, good old boys club.
Mm-hmm.
And they are there for the perks and the self-aggrandizement and the power. And, you know, it's really pathetic. I think our founders, had they really been able to see that people would prefer seats of government to gainful employment and business ownership and ranch and farm ownership, et cetera, they would have implemented term limits.
Yeah, you know,
there was a time when our, you know, we had two men in our home yesterday that were doing some repairs, replacing our floor and countertops, and they were from Indiana, and they brought it up, and it in the course of the conversation about the condition of the country and so forth, there was a young man here, and he said, you know, I don't think our founders really envisioned that people would prefer being in government seats as opposed to going back to run their farms and their ranches and their businesses that they had back home. It was something that they went to do as a public service to their communities and to their states. It wasn't something that they looked at as gainful employment and a career opportunity. And that's true.
I would agree. Yeah, I don't think that they ever envisioned the level of corruption getting to this point.
No. I mean, I think they knew it was possible. They understood how men are, but no, I don't think they did.
Yeah.
I think they hoped it wouldn't get to this point, at least.
You know, and they studied the cultures, they studied the governments, the rise and fall of both, you know, and the culture of corruption that the lack of character across the culture, where people don't want to go back to their, you know, where they want to take advantage of the public service industry, it's an industry now, where they would want to take advantage of something like that. Just that,
right.
I'm sure that the thought process of that just never existed 250 years ago. You know,
our founders gave us an absolutely amazing system of government, a system of checks and balances, of where power couldn't be seated in one single place. And they were wise enough also in setting up our system of government. We're not a democracy. We cannot be governed by mob rule. And that also is part of the system of representation and checks and balances that we have. And it is such a brilliant system. Unfortunately, it is still only as good as the men and women who are elected to uphold the laws, the Constitution, and the vision that they had. And I think that we're seeing that for too long, we the people have failed to get the right people elected that would uphold that vision and uphold the tenets of our Constitution and the principles of liberty.
Yeah. Oh, so sad. It is. It's just truly sad. I mean, I don't even know what else to add to that. It just blows my mind. I'm still buzzing from MRAP to think that I could see a tank driving down Main Street, historic Main Street in St. Charles. You know, a tank with a cannon mounted on the front, you know, because, you know, the crazy liberty-loving folks are out of control here in St. Charles County. Just blows my mind.
They'll have their MIAC reports in hand as they drive their MRAP down the street, Lisa.
Oh, man, I'm telling you.
Round you up.
All right. Well, that's about all I can handle for 1 week. I think I've just about blown my mind on that one. I cannot even imagine. But I do want to thank Ryan Bundy for being on the show, giving us a great update on that situation. You know, and if we didn't make it clear before, folks, I think Glenn Beck has been doing a lot of double talk and backstepping. You know, I think he's felt the pain, and I just would love to close the show on the note that, folks, you just cannot put all your eggs in a basket anymore. You cannot trust your politicians, no matter how friendly that you think that you are with them. You know, and you cannot look at somebody because they do one thing good, or they agree with you on one issue, or they make a great speech on freedom and liberty. You know, doesn't mean that they're necessarily doing the right thing behind closed doors or when you're not looking. You can't just go to one blog or one news source for your information anymore. You have to look beyond the surface of things. It's more crucial than ever, because especially all of these people that are in it for the money, you know, when you've got news services that are making money off of driving a message, and what Ryan Bundy was saying earlier in the show, it's a controlled resistance, you know. And we all know that shortly after the Tea Party was founded, there was a massive effort by the Republican Party and by other infiltrators to get into the Tea Party to neutralize this movement of people who are using the Constitution to bring an uprising against the corruption that's going on in the country. You're being manipulated, folks, clear and simple. It's not pretty, it's not fun to hear, but you're being manipulated, and you cannot take things at face value anymore. You have to look beyond what's on the surface, and you have to ask, why are people doing the things that they're doing? Why is Glenn Beck attacking Cliven Bundy? What's in it for him? You know, what does he stand to lose by allowing the movement to go in a different direction than he thinks it needs to go? Same thing with Alex Jones. Same thing with Fox News. Same thing with Hannity. Same thing with all of these folks.
Right.
And your legislators.
Right.
Same thing.
I would add one other thing too, Lisa. There are leaders of conservative groups that were formed years ago, back 30 years ago when Chuck and I first became politically involved. There were seemingly good conservative groups, and I think at that time they may have been good conservative groups, but they have gained a seat at the table, and that seat comes with a price. They've had to sell their soul to keep that seat, and they still think they're there to do something good, but they have been as responsible as the legislators that we've elected that have compromised their souls. You know, there's been a lot of that going on, and consequently, we're losing our country as a result, because too many people have been willing to compromise, thinking that they, with that seat at the table, they could actually get something good done, and yet they've really sold us out. They've really lost the war. They may win a couple battles, but those battles in the long term don't really amount to anything.
Yep. Yeah, they're willing to make a deal to further their own personal agenda for their own issue.
I would argue too that some of them became dependent on the money that they were earning through book sales and so forth and so on for a dysfunctional system, and touting what needed to be done about it while never really giving people the real tools they needed to get it accomplished.
Absolutely.
Now, how's that for a cynical view?
No, well, you know, I mean, I agree with you totally. I mean, I can think of several organizations off the top of my head that are very well-respected, so-called conservative organizations that have totally sold out on the larger picture to maintain their place at the table or to maintain their ability to push their agenda.
Mm-hmm.
Sold out on other ideas.
The Glenn Becks and so forth are no better. They're arguably even worse because they have a lot to gain.
Well, and it's so dangerous because there are so many people who are willing to follow blindly, you know, because there are some good messages coming out of the Mercury One network, you know, but I'm telling you, you know, not to throw the baby out with the bathwater, but, you know, you cannot blindly follow on all points when you have something happen like what happened last week with the Bundys. You just can't. You have to question everything and look for other sources. And it's out there. The alternative media is growing. A lot of it is very reliable, and there's enough of it out there that you can source check your information. So, you know, don't rely on these big news media organizations. Go out there and look at your alternative media. Some of it is very excellent. Investigative reporting is happening, you know, and I'm telling you, investigative reporting is not happening on Glenn Beck for sure. So I want to thank Ryan Bundy. I want to thank Mike Christian and Mike Turner of the Oklahoma State Legislature. Those men are doing some incredible things. The fact that they've stepped out of the box to do what they're doing, we can only hope that this is just the beginning of a snowball that happens across the country. I'm hoping to God that people start thinking about, you know, their judiciaries, and pulling them in check. And I think you made an excellent point tonight, Cindy, that judicial, you know, everybody's talking about judicial reform, you know, and most of the elected are scared to death of it, and most of the lawyers and the judges are fighting it tooth and nail because they're in charge of the process right now. You know, they don't want to lose their power, but the best judicial reform is to do what is simply outlined in your legislature and start impeaching these people. You impeach one or two of the judges and they're gone.
Right. We have the tools in our hands to take care of the judicial reform that needs to happen. We do.
Absolutely.
We don't need judicial reform because we were given the tools in our state and federal constitution to deal with federal activist judges. We have that at our disposal. It simply hasn't been used, and it hasn't been used for a very long time. But we, again, it does go back to the fact that we have to get the right people elected.
Yep. You got to have people with a spine. Those two guys have a spine. I hope it grows, you know. Just takes a couple people to start that issue, you know, and that can be a sentiment that just grows across the country. I hope it grows here in Missouri next. Good Lord.
Absolutely.
So it's, Ryan Bundy,
encouraging.
Mike Turner, and Mike Christian, thank you so much. Thanks to Mark Messer and Rod Zare. We are here every Wednesday night at 7 p.m. Central Standard Time, Culture Vigilante on Missouri Grassroots Radio. Tuesday evenings at 8 p.m. you can listen to Cynthia Davis with Homefront. And Fridays and Saturdays are reserved for Dave Court speaking on various issues, flat tax, fair tax, the Article 5 issue, which they've been beating that one to death. I'm still going to, like, hop on Dave's show one night and just zap him on that one of these days when they're talking about, because I just am not an Article 5 person. But anyway, join Dave in that discussion and call in and tell him, you know, that you agree with me and that there should be no Article 5 convention thing. Anyway, we're here at Missouri Grassroots Radio every week, folks. Go to MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. Join us there. Join us on Facebook. Follow me, Lisa Payne Nager, Culture Vigilante on Facebook and Twitter. And until next week, we will see you again here on Culture Vigilante.
Missouri Grassroots Radio is brought to you by the Missouri Grassroots Coalition, a cooperative of independent Missouri groups whose aim is to restore constitutional government. Visit us at MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org, check out our Facebook page, and follow us on Twitter. You can contact us anytime at info@MissouriGrassrootsCoalition.org. God bless and keep you till next time we meet.